were you saying something?
No.
Oh, okay, you weren't. Okay. All right, it's Pamela Cuccinelli, and I'm doing the forecast for September, for August into September 2011. And I am going to start by saying that in mid-August, actually on the 13th, we had the full moon in Aquarius, and that was a very, actually usually after full moons, there's a bit of a reverberation for a few days. You're still feeling energy, so even though the culmination energy has passed and now the moon is technically waning, it still is a time to acknowledge and recognize whatever the full moon energy specifically was about. And the thing about full moons always is that the sun is illuminating the moon, so the emotional body, the part of ourself that is more instinctive and less about logos or logic. So the sun illuminating that part gives us the capacity to reflect and review and see where we're at, especially if we work cyclically and we're coming from new moon energy, we're at the full moon culmination, whatever we want to adjust and aim for and clear out as we crest towards the next new moon in a couple of weeks. So the Aquarius-Leo axis is a lot about coming to terms with the individual expression as opposed to the community good or the greater community in opposition to self-expression individual. And both need to be actually recognized to have balance occur, but we are continually usually striving for balance. I mean, if someone is kind of more oriented towards center of attention or expression of ego, something like when this full moon in Aquarius comes up may challenge that in some capacity where they realize, you know, they need to offer more or be more available for the greater community in some way. And in the reverse scenario, someone who's very always giving and stretching into the community but not really too focused on his or her own individual needs and self-expression, that can bring light to that as well. So anyway, we're in the finishing up of that.
I never heard the full moon expressed as the opposite, the Aquarian Leo axis. So you did mention that in your writing.
Right.
The contrast between Obama and Reagan, the Leo Aquarian opposition there. But is that always, I guess that's always the case then. It's always an axis, not just moon and Aquarius. It's also its opposite too. That's featured, is that right?
Yeah, if I'm understanding you correctly, the full moon is always the opposite sign. Is that what you're saying?
No, so, you said the Aquarius-Leo axis.
Right. As always, Leo and Aquarius are opposites.
But is it always like Capricorn, Cancer, whatever?
Yes.
So the full moon also always illuminates also its opposite.
Yes. The full moon is illuminated by its opposite. So since the sun is about the ego and to some degree self-expression, that part illuminates the emotional body, instinctual body, the soul energy. So it's depending where a person is and what their personal sign is, that's where the area of life is being illuminated. And because we would look at For instance, if somebody had classically Aries rising, which is the first sign of the zodiac, and it's the Aquarius full moon, then the sign of Aquarius is in the 11th house, and the sign of Leo is in the 5th house. So the 5th, 11th house is being illuminated by the full moon. It gets very, the thing about when I do the daily forecast, or even talking today, when I have somebody on the call or if somebody emails me, I can answer specific questions, but what it does is I can write generally about how it's manifesting, but for every individual, it's much more personal than that, because the full moon actually is highlighting certain areas of your life, as well as whatever area of your life is to somewhat, to some degree, affected by Leo Aquarius energy. So always, if you know what your rising sign is and where this all falls out, it's always good to look and see, oh, okay, I've got the new moon energy happening in, for instance, the new moon. I was going to talk about this anyway, so I'll just segue into this. The new moon is in Virgo on August 28th. And so if you know what your rising sign is and what area of life Virgo falls in, then that's the area where you really are kind of having a back-to-school orientation. That something is a new beginning happening in that area of life. Making sense?
Yeah, that's another aspect of... Yes, to an extent.
Right. For instance, your rising sign, refresh
Scorpio.
My memory again?
Scorpio.
Oh, right. How could I forget that? Okay.
Right.
Your rising sign is Scorpio. So the full moon axis would have fallen, well, it depends on the house system, but just for... an example's sake, we'll say that it fell classically in the fourth house. So the full moon was in the fourth house, and the sun in Leo is actually transiting the 10th house of career. So there.
Hypothetical, that's not me, that's a hypothetical world.
That's hypothetical. Well, if I did something called the equal house system, that's for a Scorpio rising, that's how it would fall out.
Okay.
So I usually use a system called Placidus, which may put your fourth house and your midheaven different signs. But it does have some bearing in looking at equal house system. That's the thing about really getting into astrology. There's all these layers.
Yes.
So we can look at all these different layers.
Yeah, those are two that I hadn't noticed.
You think? Oh, right. We can look at all these different layers, and there is a logic to it, and it does make some sense. So I would say that this full moon did have activation in your home and career axis to some degree. I don't know exactly what. It's not an eclipse. The thing is, eclipses usually have much more like, oh, you totally feel it because it's this bright light that just shines in that area of life. A regular
I felt it in my home and career, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. Because a regular illumination, like a full moon, is going to just indicate where you can concentrate your energy most effectively at that point in time. So that's what you're kind of coming off of now. And as you head towards the new moon, as I said, August 28th, which is in Virgo, that would, just calculating again, doing the equal house system, that would highlight your 11th house, groups, networking, goals and ambitions.
Yeah, so, well, I haven't been out of my home in a couple of days now. Dealing with a lot of issues of career. So it's definitely appropriate what you said, Sonny.
Okay, yes, that is appropriate. So then I'd also say that with the new moon that occurs at the end of the month, focus on what you might want to do, Virgo energy, because Virgo's good at initiating projects that have to do with health, diet, exercise, day-to-day work, perhaps some of your workers because you're an employer. So something that you might want to start in those areas. And I know you're always working very consciously on taking care of your health. So it could be something aligned with that, a new program or a new group of people that you would be working with to be effective in that way. So wherever an individual has the new moon energy, whatever house, wherever Virgo is for late August, that's a good time to just focus on, if Virgo is about craftsmanship and wellness and really healing myself and taking care of my body and my my routine, whatever my routine is, especially my work routine, and then you layer it onto the house it falls into as well, so that house will tell you what specifically in the routine might need to shift or change or want to be tweaked in some way.
Very interesting, because it's very been, even now it's an issue. I might get a resolution at that time. And then the 28th, I think, is a psychic fair at Star Vision, which I always go to.
Oh, okay, super.
Health practitioners there, so the last time I went to two of them. And so
okay.
I can certainly visit them again.
Okay, that's great, because it should be very well positioned for that, especially actually after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, because the moon enters Virgo that day specifically at 2:13 p.m.
Well,
so that's when...
Schedule any readings before 2:30 then.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could, but it's... Especially psychic readings are pretty effective when the moon is void, of course. But if you do, I thought you mentioned healing, so body work or anything like that, that was specifically
No body work, yeah.
Okay, to deal with therapeutic issues. Those are very well positioned for after 2:13 p.m.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to glance a little more at August. And as we move into September, I just want to make sure that I talk about all the big energies that can be happening this particular month. Well, the sun enters Virgo on the 23rd. That always begins a cycle of we're finishing up with summer. So all that kind of, and you're a landscaper, so all the things that have to do with finishing the harvest and the pieces that have to do about the very big growing or surplus growing and getting into moving into the next season as well. So the mutable signs always have 1 foot in one season and 1 foot in the next season. So Virgo is transitioning from summer into autumn. And usually around that time, people start to develop more of a restless energy, Yes, they're enjoying summer, but they're having the sense that they want to finish up whatever they want to definitely do before summer ends, because they sense that transitions are happening, and they will, once the sun enters Libra, they will be shifting gears very quickly into energy that has to do with moving into the next quarter. So Mercury goes direct on the 26th, and the thing about this particular Mercury going direct, I mean, people, it's so interesting, people who know very little about astrology seem very interested in Mercury retrograde. But this one, when it changes and moves into direct motion, you may experience more volatility than usual, because the planet Uranus is in early degrees. Answer something. Right, the planet Uranus is in early degrees Aries, which is a fire sign. So when Mercury shifts, even though the degrees aren't close, it also is in a fire sign, Leo. And I anticipate that will cause a real power surge. That's the word I was looking for. Power surge in where people want to go and what they want to communicate. So don't be surprised by what comes in, either the 26th or a day or so later. But just be ready for quick changes that may have to do with something that needs to be communicated, a contract that suddenly wants to come through, or any kind of electronic or motor vehicle that you operate, something coming as that. It depends, again, on how mercurial a person is. People who are Geminis, Virgos, or have strong Mercuries, they often feel Mercury's retrograde and direct stations most of all, but Leos this time may be feeling it as well, or anyone who has Leo dominance. All right, I talked already about the new moon in Virgo. Oh, and the other thing I want to mention about the new moon in Virgo is it might actually involve education or some kind of level of achievement for certain people this year, because of the way the moon is particularly aspected, which I thought was interesting, because a lot of people who are changing jobs or no longer have the job they used to have are thinking about starting something new. Part of it is one needs to go through an education process or a new understanding process. So the new moon in Virgo is a really good time to look at that. And the other thing that's always good with a new moon is to write down your goals, especially the ones that pertain to that sign symbolism. And with Virgo, as I already said, it's craftsmanship, it's health, it's wellness, it's routine. It's anything that has to do with your body, diet, exercise, elimination, skin for some people. So anything that's got to do with how you take better care of the machine that carries you through life, which is your body.
Do you do that? Do you write them down, or do you do any ritual? Or?
I usually do. I can't say I always do it in a formal way, although I do have to say that I have been getting much more formal with my new and full moon rituals than I have been in the past. I mean, there was a time I was really very much a ritualist around the moon, and that actually was... I wasn't, at that point in time, a professional astrologer. I was studying the tarot. I was very interested in earth-based religions And I was involved in some goddess circles in the city when I lived in Manhattan. So we regularly worked around the new and full moon, but up here, I just really haven't, of course I pay attention to it, I'm an astrologer, but I haven't really been as devoted to the ritual as I was. However, I am starting to do that again, and I think that has several reasons why. One is the focus of energy I'm feeling as we come closer to 2012, and I almost feel a calling or a necessity to do that. And the other is my daughter is very interested in working ritualistically. So so the two of us are now paying a lot more attention. I mean, it's like she suddenly clicked in and said, what mom's got going on in that area is an altar. That's what she's doing with that stuff.
I can see her getting into that. She looks like that type of person, you know, but she's never been there. Now she's coming into it. That's cool.
Yeah. No, she's very, very into it. Very into it. So it's very, what's the word? It's magical.
She is a magical child.
Yeah, it's magical to have a dedicated partner and also someone who she's just so confident with it. So that's great. And then the other reason is that I was invited, Opal Moon Roten has asked me to do full moon ceremonies there. So I'm going to have my first one, I think, on September 11th. And I'm very excited about that. So I'm actually seeing it more as a what I call an integration ceremony, because it's the full moon really gives us the opportunity to excuse me. I need some water, obviously. Hold on. The full moon gives us the opportunity to really integrate the seed energy. So that's what I will start doing. It'll be the full moon in Pisces, so that'll be fun. So, finishing up with August, the other thing that's really important to mention is Jupiter goes retrograde on the 30th. Now, Jupiter retrograde is so important to be aware of with anyone who does business, because and certainly anyone who does investments or real estate, when it's retrograde, it is not considered an auspicious time to sign a contract or begin a new business or begin any kind of serious investment. I mean, compared to baby shoes, Mercury retrograde, Jupiter retrograde is much more serious for those things that I've talked about. It can be mitigated if somebody really needs to begin some kind of contract or business at that time, but it would have to be a very well-chosen date and time. And it would be very ill-advised on the kind of business or project, because Jupiter is all about expansion and looking for luck and good fortune. And Jupiter right now is in the sign of Taurus, which has to do with possessions, how we gather resources. To some extent, how well we live in our body and take care of this overall vessel that carries us through life. So when it's retrograde, it is not a time of robust energy. So definitely for anyone who's thinking about investing or taking a risk in a business capacity, you would want to choose a very good day. And it stays retrograde until Christmas Eve. So right now we're in what's known as the shadow of the retrograde. So anything that is begun at this time, along those lines of what I just talked about, will be revisited during the retrograde. It doesn't mean it's like bad that you started it now, but it will need to be revisited. And so that's one thing I always want to talk about with Jupiter retrograde, because I've been reading like astrology things that say, oh, Jupiter is in Taurus, it's going to be really good, you know, the economy. And I think, are they paying attention to anything else?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jupiter in Taurus is good, but you have to look at everything else that's in the sky. And obviously, whether they're aware of it or not, the greater financial world is not really that impressed by the fact that Jupiter's been in Taurus.
Yeah.
So it's more, you've got to look at the outer planets and what's going on and the actual movement of Jupiter itself and what else is around it. You can't just take out that one little piece and think, oh, wow, it means that real estate is going to stabilize. No. I mean, somebody's going to do well in real estate, depending, and that person, probably Jupiter is transiting their sun or something cool like that. But now that it's going into movement to eventually be retrograde, you want to look at anything that you get involved with in a business capacity. Okay, so moving into September, I know you have another appointment too, so we're on this call. Okay, right. September is Virgo energy, which I already talked about. And, oh, let me just briefly say, we always love to talk about Sabian symbols, about the Sabian symbols of that new moon Virgo. One of the things, as I'm talking today, the moon is void, of course, and it's in Pisces. So even though that makes me highly intuitive, it's the little details sometimes that slip by me. Right, I'm almost there. I just have to open up the right page. Virgo happens at, oh, I see, 4. Wow. All right, I'm having a Mercury retrograde moment for sure, because I know I wrote about this, and I'm not seeing it on my computer, so I'm just going to quickly do it. Oh, right. I'm going to quickly do it now. Is the Sabian symbol is 6 Virgo, and that is. Exciting to listen to for the people.
Okay.
As I float around and say, all right, I know it's here somewhere. Okay. 6 degrees Virgo, absolutely. Yeah, here it is. A merry-go-round. That's not surprising, considering what I've been through. All right, it is a merry-go-round, and that is the word, or the phrase, rather, that goes with this particular stating symbol. And I think that that is particularly telling, not just because I got confused, because I'm about to talk about it, but as we come off this summer that has been so loaded with impact and changes, it had all those eclipses this summer, and there was a tremendous amount of force coming into the spring, right. In June, we had two eclipses, and the last one was July 1st. So as we're coming off the merry-go-round, that's what my preference would be at this point in time, coming off the merry-go-round and entering into a time of coming down with greater focus. And this, I feel, is where a lot of people are at, whether they're aware of it or not. I mean, it's been very to kind of not look too closely at 2012 because it's not really here yet. But as we go into the last quarter leading up to it, there is a quickening of stopping all the distractions and coming to a place where it's time to get off the merry-go-round. There was an article in the Times, I think it was yesterday, about how people no longer think anymore. We don't have great thinkers the way we did 20 years ago. 30 years ago, 40 years ago. And because many people are just looking for information, we have a trove of information, but we don't have a lot of just very quiet conscious thinking going on. I'm talking about the greater world, not obviously the people who focus in more of a holistic way, because those people are really kind of honing in and being very reflective. But just on the greater society, the information world is such a continual distraction and merry-go-round. As we get to New Moon Virgo, we're being asked, do you want to continue to revolve on this, or are you going to go for a brass ring? And really, and the way to grab the brass ring, of course, for anyone who's ever tried to do it, is that you have to focus on it in a very calculated way, not dissimilar to playing pool or playing golf, anything that requires that kind of movement, while you're in movement, being focused. So that's where we are now. It's the sense of things are moving very quickly. There's a lot of distractions around us, and what's required is that kind of detail focus that Virgo is so well known for.
Yeah, that's very good.
So, going into this next month, I am going to jump to... we get into early in the month, it's a good time. We've come off the Mercury retrograde. As I said, Jupiter is retrograde, but there are still good times when you can start, initiate, create activities. These occur on the 4th and 5th, and as we move into the 11th, September 11th, is a really lovely day with a lot of high-level spiritual attunement The moon is in Pisces. Venus is sextile Mars. There's just a real kind of very juicy energy to relate totally intuitively. So it's not a day for words. And whatever people may choose to do in a kind of reflection or meditative way for the 10th anniversary of September 11th, anyone who's in front of a pulpit or doing some sort of grandstanding serves themselves and the greater populace much more effectively by being as nonverbal as possible. Because there's such a deep tone to this particular day. And it's no accident. I mean, it's not just, I don't believe that September 11th is just about the World Trade Tower's fall or the people who died that particular day. It has that, that 9/11 or 9/11 reverberation about it that is that wake-up call to see our position in the world in a much more global context. And when I say our, I mean all of us, everyone throughout the planet. So it's a beautiful energy day, however a person wants to reflect on it, whatever associations you may have with the event 10 years ago or not. But it is very, very lovely energy. The harvest moon is the full moon that happens specifically the next day on the 12th at 5:27 a.m. And that moon is, one, two, this Sabian symbol. Always with the full moons, you have two pictures. You have, as I said earlier, the moon, which is in the sign of Pisces, and that is a table set for an evening meal. That's the picture. And then the sun symbol is a caravan of cars headed to the west coast. Now, this image came to me, and I keep coming up with this. This is like a theme that's occurred throughout, as we've done 2011 and actually 2010 as well, where Ceres is in, Ceres, the goddess of the harvest, dwarf planet, is also aligned with Aries, I mean with Uranus in early degrees Aries right now. So I get a lot of these kind of very strong images of the harvest goddess really encouraging her agenda in some way. And some images are more forceful than others. This one I don't know that I'd say is really forceful Sabian symbol image, but I do see it as being a contrast. One is a table set for an evening meal, and then the other is a caravan of cars headed to the west coast. So one shows an evening meal, which means people are about to sit down, and the other shows this caravan going to the west coast.
Yeah, right. Opposite contrast, yeah.
Opposite. The thing that right. where it connects is the table is set for the evening meal and the sun sets in the west. So there is this kind of push towards whatever is west. And if we reflect on that from a United States perspective, because of course all these symbols are for every country and throughout the world, but if you think about it in the United States capacity, the West Coast is where people have been more forethinking when it comes in terms of, quote, the New Age or a low-war lifestyle or vegetarian and organic. So see this kind of table set towards the caravan to the west, and it shows this kind of arc of movement as people are thinking about how do you reconcile those energies. Now, Pisces is about the big picture, creativity, high spirituality, escapism. Virgo is about the details, how we pull things down to the routine of life. So when we look at that kind of axis on this point, it's more how does the routine of life reconcile itself with the big picture spiritual values, the ascension, the going, like moving the soul higher while living in this routine, mundane life. How do we pull those two things together? And on one hand, the soul wants to evolve. On the other hand, a human being is in a physical body and is interdependent on other humans on this planet. So both sides of the spectrum have to be worked. And every time, as I said, a full moon comes, we're being asked to look at these opposites and see how well we are reconciling with energy.
Well, if we want to get that brass ring, it is necessary to have that that concentration, and that probably is that brass part of the brass ring, because this emotion of the action of moving west and the stasis and stability of the evening meal suggests a meditation, or at least a certain contemplative serenity at the evening meal, and there's no reason why the caravan can't circle the wagons and have, you know, cook the fire and everybody sit down and have a contemplative and grateful evening meal, thinking that, you know, and that integrating every day that idea of spirituality and heightened consciousness of the Virgoian qualities of nutrition and care of the body, as well as, and not independent of, the care of the soul.
Right. Beautifully put. Right. Because it's, as we know, there are people who really space out many, many people love to do that, to totally go more in a place where they're able to transcend day-to-day cares and concerns. But in the end, it's all about the integration. So, as Nathan talks about, even the act of washing dishes, it's all just a meditation. It's all about being present. And the more present individual is, the better the world will run. That's the truth. Pulling
that's
down.
Interesting word. Present.
It's the beauty of the Virgo's way of wanting to really see what's there and utilize it in some way. Virgo, there's several astrologers, and I definitely am one of them, who've been working with the energy of Chiron as being the celestial body that's linked to the sign of Virgo. Traditionally, it's always been Mercury, and I never throw out the ancient planet when I'm looking at considering the newer planets, in this case Chiron is actually considered technically something called a centaur because it's half comet, half. But that kind of energy that has to do with the healer who heals through his or her own wounds, again, talks about transcendence a lot. And the Virgo is a very quiet energy, a very different energy than Gemini, which is the other sign considered linked to Mercury. Virgo, I certainly see the mercurial combination because of the agility and the way of solving problems in logical ways. That's very Virgoan. But Chiron pulled in, and then looking at the opposition to Pisces and the planet Neptune, also Jupiter with Pisces, it's just a very, very rich dynamic, which has so much to do with balancing the higher mind or impulse of how we transcend with the duties to the body and to the earth. And the more focused we are on our symbiotic relationship with the planet that we live on, the closer we will be to true evolution and transcendence. But it's this kind of denial of our connection with the earth and planet which has in many ways skewed our natural evolution.
Yeah.
We have been a lot of hubris. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be technologically oriented because there's a lot of benefits out of that, but it's the hubris that we are not part of the organic whole that
it's technology is great, but it's just really just symbolic of the inner intuitive almost telepathic connection that we have with each other, and that information that comes through the technology is just a superficial aspect of that deep thinking aspect of our nature, which we really need to overcome our hubris and denial of what that we are global, actually interdimensional people. And if you don't start looking at it that way and being in extreme denial of everything, from war to politics to whatever. So hopefully those energies will be strong enough that the light will be able to seep into mass consciousness.
Yeah, well, prayer is that the numbers of individuals who are waking up is greater than the numbers who are clinging tightly to their sheets.
Actually, according to Metatron, I think that shift has happened this year, although it certainly is not an obvious fact. But supposedly that 50% threshold has been passed, although you wouldn't know it by anything that's happening through the information technology.
Right. Yeah, no, I definitely feel that's true. And it is, you're absolutely right. And it's interesting just listening to you talk. It really dovetails well with what I had been mentioning about that article in the Times about information and how it's just a smokescreen and illusion
right.
of connection. It has nothing to do with really
connecting,
thinking and really connecting in a much more profound way. And I do think that it is reaching saturation points, not for everybody, clearly, but for a a group of people, a large group of people, and there are many, many spiritually oriented people who are using that technology in ways to transcend, to consciously evolve. So that's very, very impressive. They're using the technology as ways to connect. And so you can be on this kind of group meditation teleconference, and they aren't really sharing information. They're just all showing up at the same time to deepen the vibration, and it's great. So, okay, so then the new moon, on the 23rd is the equinox, and that's when the sun enters Libra, and that's one of the great turns of the wheel, where we're going into the quarter of the year that moves into the autumnal equinox, so into autumn. And this is action and impulse day. So it's a lot of push to get things going in a way that's going to really increase the threshold for change. Anytime we're getting into these turns of the wheel right now, so the 0 degrees Libra, Libra, Capricorn, Cancer, and Aries, all those coming up are just really, really pushing like this shift that we'll almost be moving so that we can actually skip a process. So what may happen, I'm not saying it's going to happen in autumn because I don't think it is, but I do think that each time this occurs, larger groups of people enter into what you've just been talking about, where they enter into more this like aha consciousness that really starts to gain its own strength. And it's like these waves where each time it occurs, those who already are on the path can amp it up and really focus on it, meditate on it, push on it, and more people come into the net, into the way of thinking and seeing. Then we go to the last new moon of... not the last. The last thing I was going to talk about in September. That's what it is. So the new moon occurs on the 27th in Libra again. So it's the new moon right on the heels of the sun entering. And this new moon is a real kicker, because Libra Aries is about the relationship and the individual. So people who look for partnership as opposed to the individual, him or herself. And all relationships are under the umbrella of this particular new moon. So any relationship, whether it's romantic, business, a work partnership, close friendship, or anyone you know to be an enemy of yours, this is a time when you can really work that relationship in a different way. Because the planet Venus is in close contact with, is in line rather, with Saturn on this particular new moon, it shows a real, real push for ethical orientations to a relationship, any relationship. So always with the past year or so, I've been saying Libra is the sign that Saturn is in, so integrity in relationships is absolutely pivotal. With this new moon, it's really getting highlighted. So the relationships that are working for you, relationships that you may want to emphasize or put some extra weight to, any relationship that is what I would call dead wood, where you just feel like it's just not, it's just more of an energy drain than a lift, those relationships are relationships you're going to have to make very critical assessments of and release the dead wood. Anyone who is an enemy of yours or a rival that you feel a conflict with, this could be a time where you can turn that situation around, turn the relationship around. And always, any relationship that drives us crazy or that we react to in a particularly vitriolic fashion, those are the relationships that can really teach us at this point in time, because you can ask yourself, what is it about that person that drives me crazy? And there's got to be some trigger that is talking about something in yourself that you don't recognize or don't like or don't want to deal with, and not that you're necessarily as extreme as the person who drives you crazy, but that person somehow is trying to teach you better integration of yourself. So the Sabian symbol for this new moon is around a campfire of a group of young people sit in spiritual communion. And I love this image for many reasons. One is that I see youth, especially now, as being really people who can carry this energy in a very powerful way. And the reason they can is because, unlike youth that may have tried to do this in the 60s, when Uranus-Pluto was in conjunction, now Uranus-Pluto in a square, a hard aspect, is having an effect on people who were actually born at that point in time in the 60s, or people who had felt the effects at that time in the 60s. So what's happened is that somebody who was young in the 60s or early 70s now is at a point where they're feeling like, I have no choice but to be a sage and really embody this energy. So,
be a sage, you said?
Excuse me?
You say to be a sage?
A sage. So young people who look for allies in older people will find them, something that really didn't happen when the seeds of this energy started in the 1960s. There are tremendous ally relationships that can occur with actually the baby boomer generation, the generation of people who are in their 40s now. They're people who were born when Pluto and Uranus were in the sign of Virgo. So they're in their 40s now. So these are people who are considered mature, strong people in their communities, not like these fly-by-night young people who just have some sort of wacky idea. And those people allied with youth become a very powerful force. So around a campfire, a group of young people sit in spiritual communion is an image that talks about the relationships that are formed, and if you see the campfire as being people who have held the belief system or the flame or the focus or the fire of consciousness and a sense of human evolution. So they are the center, the source, and around them are young people who can take that kind of energy, take that torch and run with it.
That's great.
And so it's a tremendous catalyst energy as we go into the autumn equinox, talking about any kind of cause or community you might hold close to your heart, but you haven't quite found the time to take the action. And I think we're going to see, especially as we get into the end of this year, much more of a swing of people kind of stepping up in ways that they really haven't before. Of course, you're going to get people who step up and they're all fired up about something that is just like crazy from my perspective. but that will also reinforce the conviction of other people to stand up and look in ways that have to do with relating more effectively and with greater integrity and with greater respect. So people gaining a sense of mutual respect, not only individuals, but if we look in terms of world leader and countries. So this is these are all very, very strong possibilities as we move into the cardinal energy.
Actually, I just wanted to comment the unity between the symbols of the two full moons, one being the caravan of cars going west and the sitting down to the evening meal, which I kind of had that image in my mind of, circling the wagons and having a cookout outside.
Right,
that
right.
was the image I had in my mind, and here we are again with that image of the people gathering around the fire. So there is a certain continuity between those two
right.
full moon Sabian symbols, I think.
Very good, very good. Because running with what you just said, I mean, if we move from the harvest moon, which is the full moon in Pisces, which was the imagery about the caravan, and always the full moons are they're culminating, they're integrating, they're assessing. Move into the new moon energy, you think, well, okay, what do I have to modify or readjust as I move into this new moon energy? And it is very much about if you're going to create that kind of community, it requires the ability to listen to the other and reflect the other, see who the other is, be a mirror for the other, so that it's not just about how we think the world should be or what we want the world to be, but we also listen to what the other has to say, and ideally the other listens to us, so that it becomes a dialogue, and that's what really ends up creating the Trinity symbol, where one spills into the other, into the other, into the other. When people are just yelling at one another or spewing a lot of rhetoric, which God knows we
right,
hear a lot
right,
of,
right.
Yet it's hard to believe.
That's what's happening. But it's just it's the figure eight, that intertwined, interconnected energy,
right.
which touches not only the physical but the spiritual.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. And it is these symbols and these pictures are very specific to this kind of opening up to greater community and greater communication. So I think these are hopeful images in spite of a what seems to be in many levels a dark and difficult time. And just to finish with, because I had talked at length about the Jupiter retrograde, that doesn't mean that, you know, everything's going to plummet and we're going to have this absolute dire economy. But what it does mean is that when Jupiter's retrograde, we have to really look at why do we get so enthusiastic about something? Why are we running after this carrot? What is, you know, what's really behind it? So it requires a lot of really plumbing the depths and looking at it so that when Jupiter goes direct again, which is as we move into 2012, are we really going to move in ways that are much more aligned with building a sustainable economy? And that's something that really needs to be, I mean, as we've gone back to pretty much situation normal, I mean, so many of the people, or the companies, rather, who were bailed out are just, you know, acting like they've been doing a great job. The CEOs are getting these phenomenal bonuses, and it's all, why?
Right. Right. All those companies are doing great, and but the people didn't get any of the money, and
right, yeah, yeah.
So the economy has got to improve, and it doesn't look the way things are right now that there's any natural mechanism that's going to foster that.
No.
Political or economic. That's been
They really haven't changed anything at all, I don't think.
No.
They've
made the banking system a little bit more, and the S&P companies are a little bit more, you know, they're all a little more stability on that level, but it's been at the cost of instability at the level of the people in the irregular marketplace.
Right, and that's really the changes. The changes must come as we look at these images that are so related to community and people. It's all about people coming together and basically demanding change or stepping up and making things happen, because it's not about acting, you know, just moving through the motions anymore. People have to respond and be active. And that's just, and again, not every individual is going to do this, but much larger numbers are going to do this. And as they start to do it and move in those movements of real sustainable change, they will gain in mass, because people join groups already in motion.
Well, the Tea Party is already having a very profound influence on the political scene.
Yeah, they are. They are. But I don't, you know, I don't really see them. You see, they are not, when I look at change and sustainability and what's happening with the big forces, I don't see them as being what happens. To me, they are a catalyst. They are so extreme or blindsided that they will force change, because it just becomes a situation that more reasonable people find unacceptable. So the quote Tea Party, with their agenda that absolutely makes no real sense, and is really, again, it's puppeted up by money that is pouring in from billionaires. So the Tea Party would not exist without people like the Koch brothers, who put the money into the Tea Party happening. And that's why the Tea Party has happened. So it requires that reasonable people get on board with the same kind of grassroots activism, which actually people like the Tea Party learned from people who were grassroots and actually making changes. They've just been using the same methodology for their own advantage. So it just requires that more people get on board and counteract them. And sometimes the only way that certain reasonable people get active is when they get scared or annoyed enough. And I think that's what the Tea Party will serve.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they, unless I'm missing something.
No, maybe you're probably not. I just said that. I mean, we should have had an effect on the kind of like the
Yeah, well, the effect, I think...
I haven't really gotten into them too much myself, but, anyway. So, that's about it, right, Dolly?
That's it. We've talked. And thank you, and have a nice evening where else you go, and we'll talk soon.
Sweet dreams.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Good night, man.
Good night.